It's Cap and Haw.
1.3 left.
I'm going to put Joe on the ball, try to distract it.
Dudley to inbound.
And watch a back screen here.
Dudley looks, back screen, layup.
Wow.
You called it, partner. Wow.
You called it.
Wow.
I put that all on me. Just wasn't paying attention to the ball. Spent out, great call from Jay Kidd, but if anything, this is a learning experience. So I don't feel bad for myself. I feel bad for my teammates.
That was a highlight courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet. If you're listening on the radio, that's where you hear the great Chuck Swirsky calls every single Bulls game. Great follow on Twitter as well. You can follow him at Swirsk054. And he joins us now. Swirsk, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Chuck.
Fellas, good morning. Thank you.
Hey, what is the 0544? I was asking that on the air earlier.
Oh, that is the year I was born, 1954.
There you go.
Fossil.
There you go. Okay, I didn't think there were 54 guys named Chuck Swirsky on Twitter.
No, there's enough with one.
All right, so your thoughts on the final 5-6 seconds. Derek turns it over at one end and then just makes a terrible defensive mistake, cost the Bulls the game the other night. What was your take on it?
Well, my take was, I mean, in a matter of seconds, we saw the brilliance of Derrick Rose, and then we saw Rose probably do a little bit too much. He drove into a double team, and actually, if you look at it, it was really almost like a triple team. But then at the end of the ball game, I think Rose, you know, he manned up, and I give him credit because he probably either, A, took his eye off the ball, was not really sharply alert to expect what was coming, and it cost him. And so, you know, you just kind of put that in the back burner and you look ahead. And hopefully they can get this one tonight because it would be great to their advantage to have about 4 or 5 days to get ready for Cleveland.
Chuck, 28 turnovers. I don't think that you're going to win many playoff games, especially on the road when you turn the ball over 28 times. When you look back and you evaluate what was the biggest cause of that, how many of those were unforced, how many of those are correctable, and how much of a concern is protecting the basketball going into tonight?
Well, I think it's a big concern, David, because number one, of the 16 teams in the playoffs, obviously some are now eliminated, but the Bulls are number one in turnovers committed, 20. During the regular season, it was 13. I think Milwaukee has done an outstanding job, and we can talk about Jason Kidd in a moment, but I think their length has really created some issues for the Bulls. Their big backcourt, along with a lot of deflections where the Bulls have tried to force it in. I think the Bucks are doubling very, very hard and trapping on the wings. They're also creating a lot of congestions in the lane. And some of the turnovers, obviously, are the Bulls trying to make that pass probably too fine at times. Others, you know, you got to credit Milwaukee. I mean, they're number one right now in the league in steals in the playoffs, and you can attribute that to, obviously, to the playoffs with their defensive ability. But I think Kidd has done a great job in this series.
Let's talk about the guy that concerns you the most going into the game tonight from a Milwaukee perspective. The Greek Freak has been a really good starter in the first half. The other night, I think he had 17 at the break. Bulls did a much better job on him in the second half. I think that was last week. Who concerns you tonight when you look at this game and go, got to find a way to win, get a little rest, get ready for the Cavs? Who's the guy you go, he can't go off?
Well, I mean, David, if you look at the balance of this Milwaukee team, you know, they really are not blessed with a superstar. And so they've got a lot of players. I mean, Dudley has come off the bench and hurt the Bulls. Henson has come off the bench and hurt the Bulls. I mean, O.J. Mayo really was a non-factor until the other game, when he really did a nice job and finally decided, you know what, I'm going to kind of get myself involved first before I start jacking up shots. And once he was able to do that, I thought he played a very effective game. You know, Carter Williams, Middleton, their backcourt. But overall, I would say that if the Bulls just can protect the ball, play their game, make better decisions with the ball, they should advance after tonight.
Human nature, Chuck, how hard is it for the Bulls not to look forward to the matchup everybody is already anticipating in Chicago? I mean, we've already talked about the implications of Kevin Love's injury on the Bulls-Cavs series. We're talking about, will J.R. Smith be suspended? And these are things that obviously players are aware of, and obviously distraction potentially exists. How big of a factor is that tonight?
I think it's a huge factor. And it's a factor because now the national media is starting to pick up the Bulls. And what happens there is that they're looking for features, they're looking for stories, and they're also trying to get, and I understand, you know, the job that a columnist and a writer has or a broadcaster, but they're trying to get information right now on Cleveland because they want stuff, what we call, in the bank, so they can just pop it out when, you know, the Bulls eliminate Milwaukee. I get all that. But if you're a player and if you're a coach, the last thing you want to be asked about is Cleveland and about the Cavaliers and about the matchups and about the loss of Love, or is J.R. Smith going to play? I mean, you got to take care of business, because I'll tell you what, the last thing you want to give an underdog team in the playoffs is hope, period. Forget the confetti, which is still another story I don't understand. But I mean, wait, let me get this straight. Okay, I understand they win a playoff game, but you're down 3-1 in the series and you're tossing confetti? Really? I mean, yeah. Seriously?
John Greenberg tweeted, and you guys, you know John, he tweeted, Bucks win the NBA championship. That's the way they treated it.
I mean, you know, this is a young team. This is a team turning the corner. They finished 41-41 in the regular season, and they did it primarily without Jabari Parker, the second pick in the draft. I understand all that, and they have a lot of good, solid core players, young players, for their future, and, you know, with new ownership, I appreciate their enthusiasm. But I think, you know, you got to kind of say, all right, we want a playoff game and we're tossing confetti. I mean, I don't understand this mindset now where you win a game and it's like, hey, I mean, if you win a series, I get that. If you win a championship and with the bubbly going, fine. But a playoff game, you're doing that, whatever.
See, I understand it though, Chuck. I mean, that is their season though. That is their playoff season. Series.
Right.
That's the cover of their media guide for next year. So I mean,
correct.
For everything that they overcame, losing Parker, getting a coach under circumstances that weren't that great. I mean, Jason Kidd is a tremendous coach, I think. I think he's proven that in this series. But when he came to town, there weren't a lot of people that were maybe with open arms except for the owner about the circumstances that he interviewed. So, I mean, I understand why they would celebrate the way that they did. And if it makes the Bulls mad that watching it, great, because it gives us some motivation and reason to avoid distractions tonight, to be focused like they need to be.
Yeah. Now, see, I didn't ask any of the players as far as the confetti, what they thought. I think they were really upset with themselves and the turnovers and just how they played. I mean, you know, you want to have a sense of urgency. Let's end this thing.
Yep.
But I do agree with you about Kidd and the Bucks, and, you know, the way it happened and how it went down, and, you know, the path and the course in which he became the head coach of the Bucks. But again, to credit where they're at and where they're going, I mean, I give that ball club a lot of props for, you know, I mean, I saw Milwaukee during the season. And the run they had, you know, to get to the playoffs, I would say Milwaukee and Boston really got it done near the end. Indiana tried to, you know, sneak in with George back on the floor. But I think this Bucks team, if with the new cap situation and, you know, maybe the draw of Jason Kidd, who knows where they're headed.
Hey, Swerves, before we let you go, the Toronto Raptors, I watched a little of that game yesterday and it got boring and I turned it off. They just got annihilated, and I'm shocked that they could have as good a season as they did and just look like they flat out quit in that series.
Yep. Well, let me just tell you this, David. I mean, I follow them closely because you never, you know, forget your first team. And this is a team that I think had a lot of promise and hope based on what they did last year. But, you know, Kyle Lowry, as much as I appreciate his competitive, you know, nature, I think, you know, there were times when he held on to the ball too much, tried to do too many things. You know, Mary Johnson wasn't healthy, and they hit a tough physical, nasty Washington front line who pummeled them just as they did the Bulls a year ago. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I can see Dwayne Casey perhaps in trouble there. And I also think that Masai Ujiri is going to don't mistake anything. I think Masai Ujiri has a plan in mind. And I think there is no untouchables on that club.
Chuck, looking forward to seeing you tonight. Should be a good one, and maybe the Bulls will wrap it up so we can start talking about the next series, which to me is the de facto Eastern Conference Finals.
Absolutely. No problem there. Thanks, guys.
Swirsk, all the best, buddy.
All right, David.
See you. There he is, Chuck Swirsky from ESPN 1000 and the Bulls Radio Network.
Yep, he's ever-present out there. So hold on a second. You who celebrate celebrations, you like the enthusiasm for the game. You like it when a guy gets up after a sack and does his little dance. You like it when a guy scores a touchdown and he does his little, you know, whatever celebration he has planned out since that Monday of that week. You like the enthusiasm.
Sometimes.
You like the emotion.
Sometimes.
You're Mr. Exuberance, right?
It depends. If NFL player scores, gets a sack, and it's 41-7 and they're losing?
Yeah.
No.
You don't want him popping his ACL like Lamar Houston.
Or okay. Get a touchdown within eight touchdowns?
I get that.
No.
But if he watches a home run sail on the Waveland Avenue, you're okay with that
every now and then. Absolutely.
Okay, so why do you have such a problem with the Milwaukee Bucks winning the only playoff game they're going to win this year, making their season after a 41-41 year nobody saw coming, after 15 victories last year? Why does it bother you that they did something that they could put and capture in a snapshot to put on the cover of their media guide next year? Why does their celebration bother you so?
Because I thought it was lame. It was stupid.
It doesn't matter.
They're down 3-0 in the series. They eke out a 2-point win at home, and they're going to make it like they won the NBA title? No.
It's emotion. How do you determine what is lame emotion and what is not lame emotion? Where does that register
you
in
hit
your
a,
brain?
You get a sack in a tight ball game, and you want to do whatever
it's
it is
okay.
You do. It's okay.
But what if that victory over the Bulls, and 1.3 seconds left, you run a backdoor screen, you catch Derrick Rose asleep at the switch, and you win that game? You win that game, and you want them to just, it was just another game. We're good. We're going to go on and try to win game 5 in Chicago. You got no shot at winning this series.
Way over.
This is your peak. This is your emotional peak of your season. Let it loose. Whatever you want to do, great. You want to throw pillows around? Throw pillows around. I have no problem with that.
That was stupid.
No, it's not stupid. It was stupid because it wasn't your team celebrating. If it was your team celebrating, you'd be like, yeah.
No, because back in the day when the Bulls had bad teams, they would shoot off confetti when they won a game. No.
Be consistent, man. If you like celebrations, like celebrations.
No. The celebration has to have meaning to it.
They beat the Bulls.
Oh, please. They're down 3-1. They're done. When's the last time you bought yourself a new pillow? If you don't have a MyPillow like I've got, then you don't have the guaranteed most comfortable pillow out there. Okay, get this. I was exhausted this weekend. Long week last week. Got great sleep. Now I'm feisty because I got a feisty partner in the studio trying to pick a fight with me. I got a nice, restful night ahead again with my MyPillow. It's the greatest. My wife bought these. Said, honey, you ought to get them to advertise. Guess what? They're advertising here now on the show. MyPillow, the official pillow recommended by the National Sleep Foundation. I've praised the product for a long time. 4 support levels, conforming to your preferred shape. They even create a cooling effect throughout the night, keeping your head cool. You need one, D-Haw, and comfortable. See why they've sold over 5 million. 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. They'll give you back 100% of your purchase price if you don't like it. But trust me, you're going to love it. Use the promo code KAP. Log on to MyPillow.com. Use promo code CAP or 800-299-5854. 800-299-5854. Promo code CAP. Get 50% off of MyPillow. We'll be right back.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast SportsNet and WGN+.
I thought it was a Bush League play. I mean, I was out there. Olenek was in a compromising position, had no chance to get the ball, and it's just too bad that he would, go to those lengths to take somebody out of a game and do that to someone. So I have no doubt in my mind that he did that on purpose.
Kevin Love in a scrape with Kelly Olenek, the former Gonzaga star. Cap'n Hall rolls on Comcast SportsNet and WGN+. plus.
He's got a point.
1-2-2-3-5-25-25
He's definitely got a point. I think that did look dirty. You don't know what happened to lead up to that, and it's a huge injury. ESPN is reporting that
minimum 2 weeks.
Minimum 2 weeks, which would mean he would be available for the tail end of the Bulls-Cavs series if that's where we're headed, and I think everybody expects that's where we're headed. Tonight, to me, could be wrong, Cap. You never know in the NBA, but it seems like a formality tonight.
Yeah, if they lose tonight, then a lot of concern pops in.
I think a lot of concerns pops in about your next series. I don't know if they're going to lose to the Bucks. They're going to.
I doubt it.
At some point, they're going
tonight,
to eliminate the Bucks. They're going to eliminate the Bucks.
You would think, yeah.
I think if they lose tonight, you already have some concerns about next series because of the way they protect the basketball carelessly at times, the inconsistency, the tremendous highs and lows of Derrick Rose, and just the overall LeBron factor gives you some pause about the Cavaliers being able to be a team the Bulls can beat. But the Kevin Love injury gives some people reasonable hope. I think that's huge. The brakes are falling the Bulls' way. Number one, the playoffs fell, the seeding, so they played the Buck. They stayed at number three, right? Remember that? Going into the last part of the regular season, so they could play 3-6 rather than the Wizards, which nobody wanted a part of the Wizards.
Correct.
They're getting it together.
I watched
the right
them yesterday. They look good. They look good.
Woo. Can they beat the Hawks?
Yes.
The Hawks, I saw part of the, was that Saturday now? Before the other Hawks.
Yeah, the Brooklyn game.
Yeah, I watched some of the Atlanta Hawks before the Chicago Blackhawks.
Right.
Hawks and Hawks.
Did you watch in the press room?
No, I think I was at home at the time. And they look terrible.
Terrible.
Beatable.
Brooklyn just looked really good.
So that's what I said to Chuck. I think that the Cavs and the Bulls, that's shaping up as the de facto Eastern Conference Finals. A lot of stuff could happen, but you would think that the winner of that series would emerge as the favorite. Would you not?
I would think that if the Bulls found a way to get by Cleveland and the Wizards got by Atlanta, the Wizards would go, we could take them out.
They don't match up well against the Wizards for some reason. Yeah, that's a scary matchup. Isn't that weird? You'd almost rather get the number one seed.
Rather get Atlanta.
Strange, but true. And I think when you watch what's going on here, J.R. Smith, talk about intentional
idiot,
dirty plays. That was dumb.
You know, he was a Bull.
Briefly.
For like a day.
For like 36 hours.
They had no interest
in
him.
And they sent him to Denver, right? And said, get away from here. He could be out for games one or games one and two. Kevin Love's going to miss the first four games, perhaps. Could be as many as four games.
Yeah, that's big.
By then, I know you have Kyrie Irving. I know you have LeBron James. I know you have a lot of other players that are pretty good contributors.
Timofey Mozgov.
Yeah, but the Bulls have some pretty good depth.
They do.
It's a great break. It's a great situation. And I tweeted that yesterday, and I heard from a couple people thinking, boy, don't revel in the Cavs' misery. And I was just pointing out that it's a good break for the Bulls. I'm not like nobody.
Certainly weakens the Cavs.
Nobody's celebrating anybody's.
You wonder what it'll be like because he's not just an interior player. He's a step out to 22 feet, shoot the basketball type guy, how that will affect him with his shoulder.
When he didn't play against the Bulls in the game right before the All-Star break. Remember that one, the one I overstated the significance of? The Cavs suffered as a result. Their spacing's bad. They didn't have a second option, a third option. He just does a lot of things for them intangibly that are hard to make up for. So his loss will be felt, even though he wasn't making the impact you thought he might make.
All right, I'm going to read you my little statement that I put here on my notes today. Can we please stop, not you, everybody, with the Derrick Rose narrative that he's back after one good or elite performance? Guy looks healthy. That's great. He's had impressive moments. He's not all the way back yet. We just need, let's just take what we get and hope that he continues to get better and better and stays healthy. People, after one game, I'm getting Larry Jones and all these people. See, I told you he's back. He's a top five guard. And then he goes out and doesn't have a great game on Saturday. Just relax. Just let him play.
Okay, but I agree with that. I think that's wise. I think that's probably good advice. Kind of slow down a little bit.
Slow the roll.
But after game one, I mean, were part of that a little bit. I was part of that. In that, I always qualify anything you do with Derrick Rose. You have to say if a lot. You have to say provided that. You have to qualify your comments. And I think that you continue to qualify them. If he plays like the guy that was the dominant performer in game one, in game three, 34 points in 48 minutes. Come on, Cap.
Great.
I mean, you came away from that thinking, if he can make that type of jump consistently and be that kind of guy, this Bulls team can think anything is possible. Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay, that's far enough. There's tendencies. What bothers you more, hearing it from the media or fans or both? I mean, because there's a mixture here.
Everybody so desperately wants him to be MVP Derrick Rose. He hasn't played a lot of basketball for such a long time that when he has one game, anyone that thinks he's not a top three guard's an idiot. And then he has a bad game, it's just relax.
Well,
just
I didn't go
let
that
him
far.
Keep playing.
I didn't go that far.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about in general.
And I did say, though, if he's healthy and playing at that level, he could be in the top five realm. I think what you hear is that it's human nature when you see him do the things that he did in game three, for instance. And, on the telecast, it's like, he's back. You're hearing those exact words. And it plants in people's heads.
Yeah.
They want so badly for Derrick Rose to resemble the guy he was in 2011.
I gave you a chance to draft one guard in the next round. You can have Kyrie Irving or you can have Derrick Rose. Who you take?
Well, youth and health would make me say Kyrie Irving. All things being equal, I mean, Derrick Rose is more accomplished as a NBA player. So if he's healthy versus Kyrie Irving being healthy and you had to win one series, I'll take Derrick Rose.
No, it's for your franchise, period.
For what? For one series or for 1 year? For the future?
For the next 5 years.
Oh, for the next 5 years. Look, I don't know anything about Derrick Rose's body. I think that it's a crapshoot. It's a gamble. It's a risk. Whatever word you wanted to substitute in there, you don't know. I would not want to base the future financial health of my franchise on those knees, on that body, okay? I have fewer reservations about Kyrie Irving's body, even though I might have more concerns about his sustainability as an elite player. I'll take Derrick Rose's, all things being equal, everybody being healthy, I'll take Derrick Rose, the basketball player, over Kyrie Irving.
We disagree.
That's okay.
3-1-2.
Do we vehemently disagree or we just disagree? I'm getting some comments here on text line. I should leave you alone. Am I picking on you?
A little bit.
So, am I vehemently disagreeing with you or am I just disagreeing with you?
I don't know. Probably just disagree.
The Bucks celebration thing was a bit much.
Ugh. The Bucks celebration thing was disgusting. 3-1-2. If I was running the franchise, that would never happen. I'd be like, oh, we're going to celebrate that we won one game. No, not going to happen. You want to win the series? We can put that on the front cover of the media guide. 312-235-2525. Do they even do media guides anymore? Every college game I go to, you get a little thumb drive.
What else is going to be on the cover of your media guide if you're the Bucks?
Jason Kidd, Jabari Parker, the Greek freak.
There's Jabari Parker on crutches. That's a good look.
And he's the return. He's coming back. Our future is bright in Milwaukee. But no confetti. We'll get to Mike, and we've got a whole lot more to do on Cap'n Ha. Anthony Rizzo is going to join us on the program. And Dan Shanka comes up at 10:40 to talk NFL draft. All coming up, Cap'n Ha.
Now, more Cap'n Ha on Comcast SportsNet and WGN Plus.
Reality is we didn't play very well, but we had the ball with 20 seconds left and a chance to win the game. And turn over 28 times and to be in that position, we're doing a lot of things right. We just got to correct things we're not doing right.
Well, in general, we looked at all our turnovers, and obviously some were, their defense, and some not making the right read. Usually, if you hold on to it too long, or you dance with the ball, or you're trying a risky pass, it's going to lead to a problem.
There's Coach Thibs, 28 turnovers. Brutal on Saturday. Awful. Got to fix that quickly. time for tonight's game. 5-3-1-2-2-3-5-25-25, Cap and Hall.
Mike Dunleavy is actually having a pretty good series.
Yes.
Shooting well.
You realize how much they missed him when he was gone for 19 games.
I think so. I think that you also saw Nikola Mirotic play the other day. I was a little surprised at that. I thought that might rest him. They might rest him for the Cavs series. He played 20 minutes, I believe. Joakim Noah still has not gotten on track. I think that's a concern. He still seems to be kind of in a funk offensively. That's not good. And Derrick Rose
just wonder how healthy
was guilty of trying to do too much. I think that was it. And at one point I tweeted out at the beginning of the Hawks game, who's going to have more turnovers today, Rose or Roosevelt?
Pretty good.
But Derrick Rose at 8. Roosevelt
Brutal.
Wasn't close
Brutal.
To that.
Brutal.
It was a long night for to be a Bulls fan, because you just wanted them to get rid of the Bucks and move on mentally so they could get ready for the Cavs, like the Cavs did with the Celtics. The Celtics really gave the Cavs all they could handle. Physical series.
It was. And they just weren't good enough to win it.
Yeah.
Thibs was also asked why he didn't take a timeout there.
He tried, though, didn't he?
He tried. They didn't hear him. And then he said, I decided to just let Derek go. He's created a lot there before.
Yeah.
Just went to a nightmare scenario where he turned it over and then fell asleep defensively.
I think, as Casey Johnson wrote, that 9 out of 10 times he trusts Derek Rose in this situation, that was the 10th.
Brutal. Brutal. Just to fall asleep defensively like that just can't happen.
That's the thing, that of all the 28 turnovers and everything, you still had an opportunity to take the game into overtime if you just make one stop.
Right.
And did the refs put 0.5 seconds back on the clock?
They added.
Because it was 0.8 and then to 1.3. And then you know that's coming. Derek just looked like he didn't know where he was, lost track of the ball. His man, it just wasn't a very aware defensive play.
No, we left the Ogden and went over to the United Center. What time did that happen at?
That was 7:19.
Okay, so
give or take a minute.
We're already in the United Center, and I'm following now on my phone.
Yeah.
And I look, and I'm like, oh, it's going overtime. And I show the guy next to me and my wife, so I don't know, some fan, he's like, hey, what's going on with the Bulls game? I'm like, 90-90 going overtime. That's what was on the app on my phone. And then I just kind of wait a couple minutes. I go, what? Bulls lose 92-90. And then I go to Twitter, and, of course, that's where I found out, and I had taped the game at home, so that's how I watched it. But, yeah, very disappointing.
It was ugly. I just was watching the replay on my computer. Somebody had tweeted out a replay of the play and a Vine or something. Just when James Neal went around Johnny Aduya and beat Scott Darling for goal number one.
5-hole.
70 seconds into that game, people are still digesting what happened in the Bucks game, and you're thinking, well, not a good start.
No.
Not going to be a good night.
And then when they got the goal to make it 2-1, and then all of a sudden it's like 3-1, like, bam!
Yeah.
What?
Sharp scores, and then they make it 3-1, and then here comes Corey Crawford. And the people start chanting later, and it was a familiar ending. But back to the Bulls. Tonight, they need to protect the basketball more. But how many points does Jimmy Butler – how many points is it going to take for him to carry the Bulls tonight? Because this guy has had an amazing series.
Been great.
And this is somebody whose emergence is no surprise based on the kind of regular season he's had or had early on. But this is the first time he's done this in the playoffs, and that's what's impressive, is that this is sort of his postseason announcement that he is a legitimate all-star caliber player. Top what? Here's a question for you. You always go on the where does Derrick Rose rank in the elite point guards and top 10, top 5. Who is closer to the number one at his position, Jimmy Butler or Derrick Rose?
It's a great question.
So if you're saying Derrick Rose is top 10, is Jimmy Butler top 10 shooting guards, two guards? Kind of this, you know.
He's got to be.
I think you're probably right. Who's closer to the top? Who's closer to being at the top of his profession, Derrick Rose or Jimmy Butler?
Oh, got to be Jimmy Butler.
Really? Think about what you're saying there. I mean, a guy who's a former MVP and Derrick Rose. And I know everything is provided on a healthy Derrick Rose, healthy Jimmy Butler. Relatively speaking, you're saying a guy who is up for a max contract, you're saying that Derrick Rose is not as close to being the best at his position as Jimmy Butler is to being the best at his.
Who knows?
It's impossible to know, Derrick. You're exactly right.
Best two guards in the NBA, the league's best two guards.
Who cares?
Play some defense tonight down the stretch, all right, Derrick?
Okay, the league's best two guards.
I haven't even thought about it.
Okay, he's not as good as Klay Thompson.
Okay.
He's not as good as James Harden.
Agree.
I would probably put DeMar DeRozan is in that discussion.
As we sort of kick this
around.
D-Wade's
getting old.
He's old.
Definitely. I got Jimmy Butler top six.
That's interesting. Let's take a couple calls. I need to think about that a little bit more. I think he's definitely top 10. Kawhi Leonard's pretty good.
I would say he's top. I'll even go to Jimmy Butler. He's top five. Top five.
Wow.
Yep.
You're his agent now? You going to negotiate that max deal for him?
I'd like to be.
Somebody texted in, hey, do you remember when you and Cap said that he wasn't a max player back in August? I don't remember that.
We did. Brooke said he was. I already got that tweet.
Okay. Is that a tweet or a text? I'm confused. Get confused. A lot of information over here.
Let's go to the phones.
All right.
Where do you want to go? Dave in Glendale Heights?
Sure.
Let's go to Dave in Glendale Heights. Hey, Davey.
Hey, Dave and Dave. How you guys doing?
What's up there, bud?
I called you guys a while back when Derek was having, you know, his knee issues, and I was kind of hating on him and stuff. But I think all in all, things always work out the way they're supposed to. It strengthened the team. I know that they had that hiccup last night, which is, you know, good. Let them have their little ticker tape parade. We know that it's going to end soon for them, you know. And, you know, we were spoiled with Michael Jordan. Derrick Rose is not a Michael Jordan. There's never going to be another Michael Jordan. But the team sustained strength, and I have good confidence in them. I think they're going to do well.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks. Appreciate it, buddy.
You guys have a good one.
You too. Mike in Chicago wants to talk about Kevin Love's shoulder injury. Hey, Mike, what's going on there, Sparkles?
Hey, Mike.
What's going on there, Sprinkles?
How you doing there, dog?
All right, man. I just wanted to say, Cap, man, my dad loves you.
Tell him I love him.
I called about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, about the black, or not 2 weeks ago, but about a week and a half ago, about when Darling was coming in, and I was all about it. And when Crawford came in, it just gave me chills. You know, when he came in and then, a couple minutes later, there was go, go, go. I was ecstatic. I was so happy that Crawford did what he did.
It was a big moment, no question about it. Did you have a point on Kevin Love's shoulder?
Oh, yeah. isn't it kind of ironic that Tibbs' old team kind of banged up the Cavaliers for us? I mean, just a little bit? I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but isn't it just a little funny that they banged them up pretty bad for us in the next round? I mean, I know they knew they didn't have a chance. So I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts?
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. I never really occurred to me that it was Tom Thibodeau's old team that banged up the Cleveland Cavaliers before he mentioned it right there. So I don't know that I think it's chalk that up to a coincidence. That's it.
312-235-2525. Don't forget, coming up, Dan Shonk at 10:40. Talk NFL draft. And Anthony Rizzo will be with us at 11:25. I'll be out there tonight with Todd Hollinsworth. We'll have postgame live from Wrigley because the Bulls postgame show will be on as well. The Cubs are a CSN Plus experience tonight. 312-235-2525. We will get to more calls. Jerry, Fabian, Fabio. Wow, we have a Fabian and a Fabio. And Antoine in Chicago. That's all coming up. Hey, get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV Adapt in Glenview. Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD. Get the fastest internet smart TV functions available. Come in the app today. See the complete selection of Samsung electronics. Or call them up. 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. 2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience. Shop where we shop. APT, app.com. Ask for the great Steve Shapiro. APT has been pleasing people since 1936. Timeout. We'll be right back to Dan Shanka, our lads draft expert.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast SportsNet and WGN+.
It can be human nature to want to push up a position that you need. And that doesn't happen on draft day. That happens in the process leading into the draft, right? So we're talking about defensive linemen, and we really need a D lineman. Hey, I know we don't have great grades on this player, but we're pushing them up because we need it, right? We drafted a defensive tackle in 2003 that didn't end up being a good player for us, and I think that was partly because we pushed him up because it was a need. We should have just taken best player available.
Welcome back to Cap and Haw on Comcast SportsNet and WGN+. He's David Haw, lead columnist for the Tribune. He'll be at the draft on Thursday night here in our city. That was Ryan Pace talking about finding the best player on the board and not talking yourself into a guy is best on your board because he fits the need that you have.
You need something. You need that position. You need a nose tackle. You need a linebacker. You need a wide receiver. You need to let your grades and your scouts tell you what you should take rather than what you really need.
All right. The draft again here at Roosevelt University, and the Bears pick as of right now at number 7. Dan Shanka. We've had this guy on for years. He's great at OurLads_Shanka, OurLads.com. They do a great job prepping everybody for the draft. Dan, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Morning, Dan.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, I'll tell you what, it won't be long now. We've been kind of like a kid in a candy store because we've been looking at several of these guys since last May, and we're anxious to see where they're going to go.
You have the Bears taking in your mock draft 4.0, is that your final one?
No, I'm sure that we'll have one other one come up here on Wednesday night, but that's probably pretty close to what we're going to get.
All right, you have the Bears taking Danny Shelton from Washington, yet no player running a 5.6 40 has gone in the top 10 in eons. That doesn't concern you at all? I know he's a D lineman, they don't run 40s, but his measurables are not the greatest.
No, that 40-yard dash is all you have to do is study film on him, and you know, he's a great football player, and what he's got to run to his right and to his left and clog up the inside. The Bears really need somebody to stop that inside run, and this is the guy. And you know what? To be honest with you, when's the last time you saw a interior defensive lineman run a 40-yard dash? You know, and Ndamukong Suh ran it. You know, in 4.97, 5 flat, and he hasn't had to run that since. So I think that what Shelton brings to the table is great lateral quickness, interior instincts, and tremendous effort.
Dan, depending on how the teams in front of the Bears react, and obviously it's, everything is dependent on that, how do you see their approach to the wide receiver class, and how do you rank those two guys at the top of the list, and how deep is this draft for wide receivers?
First of all, it is very deep, and we've got Amari Cooper first, as an ascending player too. I mean, he's been, since he's been a freshman, when we first saw him, we said, gee whiz, we got to wait 3 years for this guy. I mean, he's been big time since he's been a freshman. He catches the ball well in his hands, just a great route runner. Quick in and out of his breaks. He knows how to turn a cornerback. I mean, he's got all the tricks in the bag, plus he's got really good speed. He ran the high 4.3s for watches at the combine, not only that 4.41 or whatever was published out there, but he can run. He can do it all. He's not Calvin Johnson being 6'5 or 6'4.5, he's big enough and really will be an impact player this next year. Now, we think White, now he didn't have the advantages that Cooper did. White only had a quarterback for 1 year, was a JC guy. He's got a lot to learn on route running and things like that. But he's definitely a three-level type receiver, medium, short, and he can go along with that 4.35 speed. and big guy. Love the way he plucks the ball. I think that he's going to be a Pro Bowl receiver too. Down the line, in 3 to 5 years, you'll see both those guys mentioned Pro Bowls on a regular basis, I think, because I think White is just, like I said, he's just starting to ascend it now because he only had a quarterback really for 1 year, but he sure has the effort, the work ethic, and he's got the talent to do so.
We're talking to Dan Shanka from Our Lads, OurLads.com. Great spot to get you set for Thursday night's draft. I'm looking at some different mock drafts. Todd Gurley has been a guy we've talked about on the show because he's got a knee injury, but sounds like he is 100%. The last thing I read was his medicals have checked out fine. Some people say he's going to be gone before the Bears pick in this draft. What's your take on Todd Gurley? How high does he go?
Well, remember now, even though that rehab is going well and stuff, he's not going to be, you know, the Todd Gurley that we saw early last year and, in his career for about a year because even though medical science has been overcoming a lot of things, I mean, he's still got to get used to getting hit and build up. And the guys are just naturally a little bit more timid at first, you know. So it's going to take – I mean, he's not going to come in and be raring to go during camp. And it might even take the end of the year before he even, you know, makes any kind of impact. So, but, you know, the teams have that in mind, I think, for the most part. Now, how early will he go? We're going to say in the mid-round, in the mid-first round somewhere. It all depends on your scheme, I think. If you're a vertical blocking scheme with a man blocking where he can come downhill, I think that that's going to be a good fit for him. Where, you know, a guy like Gordon, he's your stretch zone runner with great cutback vision. So even though Gurley could play in that type of scheme, you know, he runs awfully high. He's got an injury history. Now, not only that left ACL, but he's been nicked up, and he runs awfully high. So teams got that in mind, too. I think that before he gets pushed up too far, he's being pushed up by the media, not by the teams. The teams, I think, have got things leveled off pretty much now. But he's probably going to go in that middle somewhere or right past the middle maybe. And, you know, hey, I don't know what San Diego's going to do, but they like him. I know it's 17. So the Cardinals absolutely love him, but it's doubtful if he'll be there at 24.
Dan, the top two quarterbacks in the draft are so polarizing. Their opinions on them have been well documented. I'm more interested in what you think of the rest of the quarterback class and where they may end up going or start to fall and how soon and the order in which you have those ranked.
Now, we've got them graded, okay? We got Huntley in the late third round. We've got Mannion then next in the fourth, Grayson in the fourth, and Petty in the fourth. But, you know, teams, they get nervous. They don't get a quarterback. This is where they're graded. And the kind of rule of thumb is in scouting is if you like a guy, you take him around early. So this is where we got him graded. I think they may go earlier because people will get nervous about not having a quarterback, even though there's got a lot of developmental work here. But we think when all the smoke is cleared, Sean Mannion from Oregon State may be the third best quarterback out there. Huntley's got the best athletic ability of the group, but he's got the farthest to go in regards to his accuracy and thing. I mean, sometimes you just wonder, you have to be born with actually like a pitcher, for instance. You can improve it, but only so much. And Huntley is a tremendous athlete, but his accuracy is really scary. His decision-making is questionable. But a guy like Mannion, I mean, he's an angular drop-back guy, can, dink and dunk you. He can go down. He can throw that deep out cut. And then when he had Brandon Cooks, he was outstanding. So I think there's a lot of talent there. Grayson, same way. He needs the work and things, and he's had an injury history now that Mannion, at least, you know, Mannion was nicked up a little bit, but Grayson's had, you know, some bone breaks and things like that, which, you know, you wonder, hey, how thick are those bones in there? Because he's had a couple of them now with the clavicle and things like that. So, but anyway, he's a talent that I think people are going to certainly want to develop. Petty, a long way away. His arm's not – you keep hearing this arm strength, but if you go by the velocity at the combine where they gun the guys with the radar gun, he was at 53 miles an hour, and which is a lot – the guys that play in the league are usually 55 to 56 and above. And, of course, guys like Winston and Mariota, they fit that bill in there too, and so did Mannion. And Grayson didn't throw at the combine, but Petty doesn't have that big. I mean, you when you watch him play, you see him always putting that arc on the ball, and they throw a lot of the big garbage cans, 30-gallon garbage can. They arc the ball, try to throw that ball in the garbage can, all that stuff. Well, that isn't what you do in the NFL. That you can do that on some fade routes, but other than that, you got to be able to throw it in the tight windows.
Hey, before we let you go, Leonard Williams. I'm looking at one mock draft. Has Leonard Williams still sitting there when the Bears pick at 7? Do you see any way Leonard Williams gets all the way to 7?
I tell you, gentlemen, you don't know. It's all going to depend on what happens at the top, that first and second pick, how things fall. But, it'd be rare. If he was there, it'd really be rare because you'd have to question the people that are passing him by above the Bears. But strange things have happened in this draft, but I doubt very much so if he's going to be there at 7.
Appreciate the knowledge.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dan.
You bet, you guys. Anytime. Thanks
Talk
a million.
To you. You bet. Take care. There he is, Dan Shanka from OurLads.com.
Yeah, I echo what he has said about Gurley. I think that tremendous talent, just a great runner.
Todd McShay says he is gone at 6 to the Jets.
Boy, that's a really high risk, Cap. I think that given all the things that Dan pointed out as well, you draft a guy that high who's still in the midst of basically rehabilitating. He's in the midst of rehabilitation.
It says he's been cleared, 100% cleared to play. Yeah,
there's still going to be some hesitation, I think. He does have an injury history. But he's going to be a pretty good NFL running back at some point.
I love that guy as a player. Oh. But you're right. The injury is certainly a big question if you're taking a guy that high.
If the Bears are going to take an offensive player that high.
Be a receiver.
Yeah, and I think that would make a lot more sense.
All right, 312-235-2525. Back to your calls right after this.